Okay, so just sort of, again, tracing the history, we have the IFL, then we have 5-FU alone, then we have oxaliplatin that comes along, then we have lung cancer with bevacizumab in March with carbopaclitaxel, and then yesterday. Can you talk about 2100?
Sure. Well, E2100 was based upon some preclinical work that came out of our laboratory and a number of other laboratories. In our group, Dr. Chris Sweeney, as a fellow, now a faculty member at IU, performed a study where we looked at the ability of taxanes to interact with bevacizumab against endothelial cells. And what we know now is that taxanes, in fact, are pretty good anti-angiogenic agents themselves. We were able to show in a preclinical model that there was a synergistic activity between bevacizumab and taxanes against endothelial cells. We reasoned that in the clinic, the way to get the best use of that data was to give a weekly taxane along with bevacizumab so that one would be co-treating endothelial cells on a fairly regular basis.
Metronomic, so to speak?
If you wish. It's not a term I particularly wish to apply. We ended up using paclitaxel in this case just simply because our experience, and I think that of many, is that weekly paclitaxel is somewhat better tolerated than weekly docetaxel. This led to E2100, which of course was a randomized trial of weekly paclitaxel plus minus bevacizumab given on a Q2-week basis. Patients on this trial could receive up to 18 courses of therapy. A course was a 4-week cycle of therapy where you had 3 weeks on with paclitaxel and 1 week off. Patients could reach a point where if they got tired of chemotherapy, could drop the paclitaxel and continue the bevacizumab. The primary endpoint for the trial was progression-free survival. We had secondary endpoints of overall survival and the usual toxicity parameters that we follow in the trial. The trial was relatively unique in my experience in that primarily as a result of what had happened with the lung cancer toxicity that had been seen previously, we had very stringent criteria for dumping the trial if we saw an excess of grade 4 hypertension or if we saw an excess of bleeding. And fortunately, early analyses showed that that was not an issue. At the time that this trial was initiated, certainly the National Cancer Institute had significant concerns about patient safety as a result of the initial experience in lung cancer. And who's to say that they're wrong?
No, I mean, it's a kind of a scary mechanism in a way.
Yes, indeed. Fortunately, both in this trial and in the Herceptin trials, where this was an equivalent issue, I might add, we dodged the bullet and were able to come home with a really positive trial.
Yeah, and again, the Herceptin trial was like right on the edge of the 4%.
Yes. Looking back, it certainly would have been an absolute tragedy if we had had a 4.1% rate of delta for CHF rather than a 3.8% delta, as we saw in the NSABP trial.